Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Nitai Gaura Hariba, Hariba. Hari Ba, Hari Ba, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. O Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. So, I explained before that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that every object has a potency to influence one according to what it was created for. In the same way, different places have special potencies. And of course, as Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya, there's a special potency here for the mercy of the holy name. So I thought what I would do here is, when I'm traveling, I give short seminars on the holy name, both to people inside the movement and outside the movement. But as I explained, when you have to explain things to people who don't have a frame of reference, you know, you have to shape it in such a way that requires even a deeper understanding of the subject. So I think sometimes those explanations are also good even when you go into assembly of people that are more mature. So I'll just kind of briefly summarize that and then lead you in the type of guided meditations. Don't sit right in front here. Okay, just a little further back. That's okay, right there. Lead you in the kind of guided meditations that I not only share, but they're really the essence of my own spiritual practice. It's basically how to enter into the holy name. So, basically, the first principle I explain is that the mind is very malleable. And according to the shape or form of the mind, that will determine your level of perception and contentment. And what the process of yoga is, it's a psychosomatic process, because if you look at this as the mind is always being disturbed by selfish thoughts. So imagine, the mind is like a lens. So imagine seeing the world, which we are, through this kind of lens. And all problems are actually perceptual. They're not actual. When you actually see what's there, then you see God. So the way the process of yoga works, it's a strategy. There's so many thoughts, so you pick one. And when you pick one and you concentrate, even for a short period of time, the mind very quickly morphs into a higher level of perception and contentment. So the reason why bhakti is considered the best type of yoga or discipline for the mind is because in bhakti yoga, the object of meditation, you see, you can focus on something out of two reasons. You can focus on it through the intelligence that I should be focusing on it. And you can focus it due to the heart because I'm attracted to it. So bhakti yoga is considered the highest form of meditation because meditation, when there's an emotional connection with the object of your meditation, is much more powerful. And sometimes to prove this, I give people an exercise. I give them a meditation. I tell them to close their eyes. And I take them to an ashram in India where an old sadhu is going to teach people how to meditate. And they have this vision. And they go into this cob house or this place with straw. And this great master, you can imagine he has a long beard and long gray hair. He takes one into a room, and you can imagine you're in the room. And in the room, there's one of those wood beds. And under the beds is where they keep all the medicine and the sweets and everything. And there's a line across the room with clothes where you hang it and a little Elmira. A little cluttered, but this is the room that he gave you to meditate. And he says, I'm locking you in for 1 hour, and there's a piece of paper on the bed. As soon as it locked the door, you pick up the paper, it'll give you instructions on how to meditate. So you pick up, you open up the paper, and the paper says, there's a deadly cobra in the room, don't think of it. So when that happens, everyone laughs. What do they laugh about? That the lesson they learn, they cannot help but think of that because there's the relationship of fear. But then you explain that the most consummate and powerful of all emotions is love, and that's bhakti. If you actually have a natural attraction to the object of your meditation, the meditation will be the most powerful. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, yoginapapi sarvesham madgatena taratmanam shadhavam bhajate yomam same yukta mato. Of all yogis, one who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest yogi. Why? Because there's connection. There's connection between the object of your meditation. And your report is there's nothing we can do about the crazy wedding, huh, Pradyumna? There's nothing we can do about the crazy wedding outside the door. Nothing, huh? Okay. I'm not sure this will be the best place to meditate. It doesn't look like it will be. So I'll give the lecture and then maybe we can meet some... What? What? But trying to quiet your mind in this atmosphere is even more difficult. Okay, meditate that's your mind. Anyway, at least a lecture, because I'm speaking, I could explain. Maybe it'll quiet by the end of that. So, therefore, bhakti is a very powerful meditation, because the object of your meditation, you not only have an attraction for it, but it's alive, it's personal, so it can also reciprocate. And if you actually study yoga philosophy, although yoga philosophy is psychology, so it doesn't have a theistic preference, but most yogis meditated on God and sound. And even the Yoga Sutras, I explain, it gives vacha and vachika. There's the object and the sound of it. And when the object is God, the vacha, the object God, and the vachika, the sound, are non-different. So even from a perspective of yoga, they accept that there's God, and that God can manifest in sound. And when they talk about this, the purports are amazing. By all six commentators of the Yoga Sutra, they all talk about the principle of grace. That actually, by your own power of concentration, it's very, very limited. And if you read about what a yogi has to do, he first meditates on the object. Then he meditates on the object without conception. Then he meditates not only on the object without conception, he meditates on the fundamental element of the object, which is prakriti. And then you're beginning. And then there's seven stages of samadhi, and then you eventually get to the point where there's only one thought in your mind. I hate other thoughts. That's the only thought that's left in your mind. And then somehow or other that, you know, merges. So when you read it, you understand that virtually it's impossible. And therefore they all talk about grace. So in bhakti, because the object is not a prop, it's alive, is the principle of grace. So explaining like this. And then you can just show people very, very easily how the mind is controlled, very, very rapidly. First of all, there's asana, and asana means sukha and sthira. Sukha, happy, steady, the body's happy and steady. And then there's a meditation. And even if you just breathe in and feel the cool air coming in and breathe out and feel the hot air coming out, and you just concentrate on your breathing, cool air coming in and the hot air coming out, and very, very quickly people understand the principle. That once the mind is focused, it transforms. So what I share with people is five different types of meditation. And the two principles is, I found something I want to share with you too recently. I think I spoke about this in one class, but I want to explain it again. I think it's very, very relevant in terms of meditation. I watched a short speech by a psychologist who has studied the art of distraction. And he became so proficient in the art of distraction that he can publicly pickpocket someone in front of an audience without the audience seeing it. He can just say, he's just expert. They study how the mind works. What's that over there? What happened? You see, as soon as the consciousness went, look, now check your pocket. No, I'm just joking. But it's a way to do that. And he gave a diagram that I think is very, very relevant, and I always thought about it. The diagram is there's a picture of a head, and then there's senses, and then there's instruments. There's kind of like something for the ears, something from the eyes, something from the nostrils. And what happens is there's a person in the head, and he's controlling the input. The input just doesn't come in. The input has to be let in by something inside your brain called concentration. And he gave an example. If you just say, if someone says to that person, do you remember where you lived when you were 7 years old? Then what happens is the concentration of the person turns to the memory and nothing comes in through the senses. And I was realizing that when I was listening to the kirtan last night. Sometimes I was hearing the drum. Sometimes I was hearing the kartals. Sometimes I was hearing the kirtan. And when I'm hearing the kirtan, I'm not hearing the kartals. When I'm hearing, because it's limited. I think even psychologically they say there's a very small percentage of sensual input that you can actually bring in the consciousness. The man, when he was doing this, at a particular time, he told the audience to look up, and he had a different shirt on. And they couldn't see it. And then he gave the guy at the end, he said, I'd like to give you a reward for being such a good thing. And he gave him a watch, and the guy looked, it was his own watch. And I was watching the whole thing. So I had to actually look at it again to find the time where he actually took the watch. I didn't see it myself. Because it's just, he knows the principle. He knows the principle that the mind can only concentrate on a limited amount of sensual input at a particular time. It's fascinating. His name is, if you want to, Apollo Robbins. So I thought that's something I always realized, and therefore you have to concentrate. And therefore in my own japa meditation, the way I try to do it is I try to activate either my intelligence that says this is important, or I try to activate my heart, which invokes some attraction for the object of meditation. And there's no hard and fast rules. One way to do it. One time I was teaching meditation to a hypnotherapist. And after I taught it, the different types, they explained to me that consciousness is altered in various ways. Some people visually, some people kinetically, some people audibly. So we'll all have actually a different way of kind of altering the consciousness means, concentrating on something. So these are the meditations I share, and we can do them together. The first one is I call yogic. And I explain to people that mantras have potency when chanted properly. And what's the proper chanting of a mantra? That you hear each syllable of the mantra carefully. And if you do that, there'll be a fruit of the mantra. And the fruit of the Maha Mantra, which is a love mantra, is that it'll draw devotion into your heart. So I try to inspire myself in that way. I call that yogic. Then I have the next one will be called introspective. Then the next one is called prayerful. The next one is called tasteful. And then the last one is called longing or separation. And if you'll see, most of them have been referenced by Srila Prabhupada in his instructions for chanting. Obviously, yogic. Just hear very, very carefully. So we'll do the yogic one first. And if you do the yogic one, you should try to sit up straight as possible as you can and focus. Oh, I explain one more thing that people should know is that the mind is like watching a movie. There's different frames. So you can imagine there's different frames in your mind. Psychologist knows this, that you're constantly taking pictures. And they come and they form a movie. So what yoga means is that if in every frame of the mind, the same object is there. And I think yogis even say if you can do it for an hour and 23 minutes, that's samadhi. And that's not easy. Do it for 5 minutes. No other thought. So it'd be something like this. But quicker than I'm doing now. These are the frames of the mind. You know, Hare Krishna. Or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And what is our mind like? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, should I go to sleep? Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, I hate him. You know, it's just so many other things come into the mind. So the first principle is, and even there's an article I've seen which related all steps of Ashtanga Yoga to chanting. Because what? Rules and regulations. It begins with that. Not just the moment that you're concentrating. It's how you live your life. So we'll go through these different meditations. Usually I do it with everybody together. But I think in this group, I think you have some maturity in this. I may encourage you every once in a while.
Let's just sit up for 1 minute and really concentrate.
Really concentrate on just hearing every syllable, knowing that if you complete one mantra properly, that something will happen, actually. Because that's the way mantras work. Okay, keep on chanting. Concentrate on every syllable. Other thoughts may come, but we don't follow those thoughts. hear every syllable carefully. Other thoughts may come, but you don't follow them. Okay, what I usually ask people, just continue chanting, but silently, and with your eyes closed, and I'll just keep on chanting, and I'll give the next meditation. The next meditation I call introspective, and the principle is that the name is none different than God, so that we vibrate, we concentrate on vibrating the holy name and feeling the holy name in every pore of our body, and we meditate on what we feel for the holy name. It's direct communion with the Krishna, with the divine. So we vibrate the holy name, and we concentrate on feeling the holy name in every pore of the body and meditating on what we feel for the holy name. Hare just vibrate the holy name. feel the holy name in every pore of your body and meditate what you feel for the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Okay, so you can chant to yourselves quietly, and I'll explain the next meditation I do, which is called prayerful. So chant to yourselves and hear every syllable and feel the vibration of the mantra and meditate what you feel for the mantra. So the mantra is also prayer. The Yoga Sutras, it says, artha bhavanam. That you should dwell on the artha, the meaning of the mantra. So Srila Prabhupada says that we should listen to the sincerity of our chanting. So you listen to the voice of your chanting, the heart of your chanting, because the chanting is prayer. So we're praying for service. And we listen to the sincerity of our chanting and we go deeper and deeper into our meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just listen to the sincerity of your chanting, the heart of your chanting, the voice of your chanting, and you go deeper in your meditation. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Listen to the sincerity of your chanting and go deeper in your meditation. Dwell on the meaning of the mantra and the heart of your voice. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you can chant to yourselves and meditate on every syllable. Pronounce every syllable, hear every syllable. Vibrate the mantra, hear the mantra. Meditate on what you feel for the mantra. And hear the prayer, the voice in the mantra. Listen to the sincerity of your chanting and go deeper. Now the next meditation I call tasteful. One sadhu in Vrindavan, he said, told me that Krishna is listening to our mantra and we should offer it as sweetly as possible in an offering of love. So in this one, I meditate on chanting every syllable as sweetly as possible, and I meditate on Krishna listening to the mantra. And you can even have a visual of Krishna sitting in Vrindavan, and you can meditate on what Krishna hears and do it as an offering of love, every syllable as sweetly as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare. Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Ram Ram. You can chant silently to yourself. Now, before I do the last meditation, before chanting, there's something that you can do also. And it's effective for yourself, but it also be effective for teaching. That there's a way of doing pranayama and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra at the same time. It's very effective. It's like this. I'll show you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Ram Ram. On the third mantra, the second one, you can breathe in, so it's like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay. You can chant to yourself. Usually the pranayama can be done with the first one of focusing on every syllable, but keep on chanting in your mind. Hear every syllable. Feel every syllable. Feel what you feel for every syllable. Think of the meaning and listen to the sincerity of your chanting. Chant very sweetly and meditate on Krishna, perhaps sitting in Vrindavan and meditating on your mantra reaches his ear. Meditate what Krishna is hearing. And of course, Prabhupada reminded us that although the holy name is non-different from Krishna, we're far from realizing that, and that we're in separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada said we should chant the holy name like a child crying for his mother. And sometimes I try to search in my heart for the voice of my desire to serve Krishna, and I try to amplify that voice, just hearing, I want Krishna, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj said we should open up a crying school. Tears are the result of desire. When the desire is strong for something you don't have, you cry. So we should long and cry. Hare Ram Ram Hari 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 Krishna Hari Okay, just close your eyes and just hear every syllable. Feel the vibration all over your body. Meditate on what you feel for Krishna in the form of the name. Listen to the sincerity of your chanting and go deeper. Chant very sweetly as an offering of love. And meditate on that vibration reaching Krishna's ears. And then cry for Krishna in separation. And try to become absorbed as if the holy name is an ocean. And you're within that ocean. And you're hearing every syllable. You're feeling every syllable. You're listening to the sincerity of your own chanting and going deeper. And we can finish now. We can still keep the same mood and perhaps just go out in the courtyard by the Siddhapakul tree and maybe just chant one round. And then after that, we'll arrange the way for everyone to get back. Okay? We can just go out in the courtyard now.